Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies solve food. From employee meal plans to on-site staffing to concierge ordering support. With corporate accounts, nationwide restaurant coverage, and payment by invoice. EasyCater.com.
You're listening to Shortwave from NPR. Maddie Sofia here with a question. Do you have a first memory of science? Are you in a classroom? Or maybe you were on a field trip in grade school.
It was the festival of Diwali. It was an afternoon time when you celebrate.
For Manu Prakash, that moment was very far away from school, far away from the prying eyes of his parents as well.
Everybody buys fireworks. And I realized that there were a lot of fireworks that were unexploded that were lying on the street.
He wondered what would happen if all those explosives and all of those fireworks went off at once, just out of, you know, some blowing things up curiosity. We can all relate. So he decided to do an experiment of sorts. He grabbed a bunch of them, pulled all the gunpowder inside them into a pile.
And I actually lit that on fire. And I burnt my hand. Mm-hmm. And I was actually in the ER for my Diwali that night. But on the other hand, I have a scar to go for it.
Uh-huh. But, and that's the day you learned about PPE and why personal protective equipment is so important.
Yeah.
Now Manu makes tools that feed that curiosity for a living. As a bioengineering professor at Stanford University, his work centers on making scientific equipment. Think microscopes and centrifuges for really cheap. One of his most notable inventions is the Foldscope, a low-cost microscope made out of just paper, a couple magnets, and some lenses. It was designed to be portable and durable. And the goal of all of this is to make science more accessible to everybody.
The science at school, as is always, is very textbook-oriented.
Right.
And for me, personally, it was just my own sets of questions that I cared about. And if I make a small discovery of my own, I don't care if 200 years ago somebody somewhere else has already discovered that phenomena or understands it better. It's my discovery.
Today on the show, Manu Prakash's quest to make science more accessible and hands-on, starting with curiosity and a little paper.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon. Support for NPR and the following message come from Indeed. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/shortwave. Terms and conditions apply. This message comes from NPR sponsor Planet Oat. While some podcast topics can be complex and pretty heady, Planet Oat oat milk is an uncomplicated no-brainer. It's rich, creamy, and an excellent source of calcium with vitamins A and D. Also, Planet Oat's unsweetened varieties have 0 grams of sugar. It's great in coffee, cereal, smoothies, you name it. So next time you're at the grocery store, save the overthinking for the podcast and reach for the one that has it all, Planet Oat Oat Milk, or visit planetoat.com for more.
These days, Manu's at Stanford. But growing up, he felt alienated by the way science was being taught at school.
You know, what we were learning in school was nothing personal. I mean, it was on in a language that was not my mother tongue. Mm-hmm. I spoke Hindi at that time, and much of this content was in English. Much of it was discovered and oriented not in my context.
Yeah.
Much of it felt so alienated in a way that I was told what was discovered, but not how. So I've really, I mean, going back, I think about it sometimes, I've really flipped my mind about education.
And that's why he spends time working on projects like the Foldscope. As the name implies, the whole deal is anybody can assemble the Foldscope from a piece of paper, complete with some magnetic couplers.
And then there are micro lenses. And so then when you fold the sheet using origami, all of these lenses actually align in a way that you can then insert any traditional slide.
And there you have it, a portable microscope, all for less than $2.
And the point about having a tool that is so accessible is when you have an idea, it's essentially important that the barrier for testing your idea should be very minimal.
And that's what the Foldscope actually allows you to do, right?
That's what it allows you to do. It really, truly lowers the barrier of inquiry.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think of it as Foldscope is a window into a genuine aha moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have to explain what a genuine aha moment. When you have one, you will truly be jumping up and down telling everybody you meet. Like when you were having pizza and you literally saw what cheese is at the microscopic scale. Just genuine aha moments are so delicious. I think that's the only way to describe it.
I like it. And you've created or helped create online communities where people can upload their notes and what they've found using the Foldscope. Why was that an important part of it?
Yeah, I think it was extremely important to me at that time when we were starting the community that the idea of a community is actually almost as powerful or even more powerful than the tool itself. Because tool is a way to go on a self-exploration journey. A community allows you to have mentors. I mean, I've often said this, we can manufacture microscopes. I can't manufacture mentors. Mm-hmm. Mentors belong in communities around the world. And our ambition truly has always been, and this is the path we're on, to reach every single child on this planet. But to think about building such ubiquitous tools, you really have to think about equality and access and sharing them very broadly and creating mentors for people that don't exist. And I think I always felt this idea of a voice. You know, when I was a little child, my brother was listening to me, and whatever idea I had, he would just take time and listen. And most often when I think about when you don't have mentors in your life, you feel voiceless.
Right.
You might have made a silly observation. You might have made an important observation. It's only that teacher that just gives you that attention to say, ah, that's actually important.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that accessibility and making it so that, you know, all different types of people can participate. I think people intuitively know, like, science should be for everybody. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about why it's better when there are all types of people there in the room.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a very practical way of looking at it. We are dealing with planetary scale problems. Just when you talk about climate change, you talk about environmental challenges, biodiversity loss, we talk about health of people around the world. We are operating and seeing these challenges at a scale that we have never appreciated before. Mm-hmm. So a global citizens really focused on not just reading and appreciating science, but doing science, to me, is almost an essential part of how we will both have eyes on our planet to truly understand what happens when changes occur. On the other hand, you know, ideas come from anywhere. It's mm-hmm. just is remarkable to think about. And frankly, I've come of this opinion that it has nothing to do with your formal education. Ideas lie in intersection of people being able to connect thoughts, and that can happen anywhere.
Right.
So I think it's this notion that many people who have not actually directly experienced science both need that opportunity. But we need them along the way if we're going to truly tackle some of these global problems.
Absolutely. So a lot of times, you know, people think of things like the Foldscope or, you know, some of your other inventions mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. outreach opportunities,
yeah.
not
yeah.
necessarily in line with your, you know, your real science work.
Yeah.
You reject that.
I completely reject that, yes.
I think part of that is like what people think science actually is. And I want to ask you about that because I used to do a good bit of outreach. And
yes.
what I heard from kids, you know, maybe like eighth or ninth grade level is like, I'm not good at science. It's
yeah.
not for me. And I just
yeah.
can't do it. And I often think that they don't have a great idea of necessarily what science is.
Yes.
So Manu Prakash, I'm going to give you the opportunity mm-hmm. to define what science is in case anybody out there is listening. and feeling they don't belong in science. So just real quick, 30 seconds, what is science?
What is science? I hope everybody would agree to me that we are all born curious. So satisfying your curiosity in ways where logic and inference gets used, but also your humanity gets used, to me, as science. We are born curious. There is no question about it. There is just a fundamental drive in us, in human beings, in learning to how to ask questions. Now use every possible facility that you have and capacity and capability that you have to just explore that a little deeper, and that's science.
Yeah. So can I ask you a question that think would be very hard to answer?
You should ask me, or already asking me very hard questions, but I'm enjoying this, so yes, go ahead.
So you've said you want to get to a point where everybody can engage with science and be a part of solving all these problems, which I would argue we're a far way away now.
We're very far away. Yeah.
What will it take to get us there, Manu?
I think I can speak from just my narrow viewpoint. I've often thought that curiosity is such an essential part of what we need to impart. I mean, there are lots of high school students I meet and see who are incredibly bothered by what's happening in the health system and want to cure cancer tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I dig a little bit deeper, they have that passion, but their natural curiosity of asking questions got suppressed. It was an either-or argument, whether they could be curious about the world or they could solve problems. And often enough in my own personal life, it's not either or, it's both. So I think I have taken a view that an educational system where you can, in parallel with whatever is happening already in a classical education system, can we from the ground up create a night science movement where parents and kids at the dinner table talk about everything else, but then also pick up the tools of science and look at the food that they're eating or the questions that each one of them is asking each other. How do we create dialogues that science is an essential part of your daily life, not just something you get exposed to from once a while flipping newspapers or flipping on a Facebook post? And it's that level of activism is sort of what gets me charged up, because then I'm not just tackling a singular problem. I am really talking about a mindset.
Manu invented the Foldscope alongside his then-graduate student, Jim Cebulski. Their initial goal was to get Foldscopes into the hands of roughly 50,000 people. And as of last year, they've reached over 1 million. In more than 150 countries. You've been listening to Shortwave from NPR. This episode was produced by Rebecca Ramirez, edited by Jeff Brumfiel, and fact-checked by Emily Vaughn. I'm Maddie Sofia. See you next time.
This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Your business faces specific challenges and unique opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, custom-tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the expertise, strategy, and resources of a top 10 commercial bank, a dedicated team works with you to support your success and help achieve your goals. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial. Support for NPR and the following message come from BlackRock's podcast, The Bid. On the latest episode of The Bid, BlackRock's chairman and CEO, Larry Fink, discusses challenges facing investors such as retirement and others where the global capital markets figure into the solutions. Listen to the episode on The Bid and subscribe for market insights from BlackRock's thought leaders.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.